Certainly hope that all of you will be able to stay this evening for our time of singing hymns together and then a fellowship meal. We're certainly thankful to the Lord that we have the facilities that we might have such a time of fellowship. And again, we're very thankful that we live in a land of peace where we can meet together without fear. But before we have our singing together, I will make a few comments based upon Jeremiah chapter 52. Jeremiah chapter 52. Before we look at some words that have been recorded for us, again, let us pray together. Our blessed Lord God, we thank you for peace. First and foremost, that we have peace with you through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his sacrificial work and your justice, your anger against our sin has been satisfied. And we also thank you for that peace that we can experience in our hearts, knowing that you are upon the throne. We are always the objects of your loving kindness. And we know that it is of your mercy that we have peace in our land. And we ask that you might be pleased to continue to grant it. Keep us from the awfulness of war. Keep us, Lord God, from violence in our streets, that we, your people, might continue to meet together and worship and fellowship and go forth and witness for your great name. This evening we ask that you would take your portion of truth and that you would speak to needy hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to be just like Daddy when I grow up. I want to be just like Daddy. Dad's great. Many a young boy has made that statement. And when he did so, he did it in great sincerity. However, as so often is the case, as the little boy grows up to be a big boy, especially as he becomes a teenage boy, he's not so sure that he wants to be just like Dad. Even though Dad may have set forth a very good example, and maybe Dad has displayed qualities that certainly ought to be imitated. But yet every boy looks at his dad and says, you know, there are just some things about Dad that I don't want to imitate. There are just some things about Dad that I really don't want in my life. I'm going to do things differently. I'm going to make some changes. And even though the comment might be made about a certain man, he followed in Dad's footsteps. If you look at those footsteps very carefully, you'll see that there are some differences. Yes, many things to truly strive and imitate. But yet every young man says, I'm going to be different. I'm going to make some changes in the way I do things. And tonight we read a little story. And in so doing, we're going to think about changes. Changes. And so I direct you toward the end of this 52nd chapter, verses 31 through 34. Now, Bible students, with reference to these verses, do not believe they were written by Jeremiah. They believe that they were added on later, and they're not really sure who wrote them. But nevertheless, they are received as the Word of God. And you know, we've looked at this chapter. We looked at the first 11 verses and considered this matter of the invasion of Jerusalem. And then we're skipping over some portion, the verses 12 through 23, that have to do with the plunder of the city. The city is plundered. The temple is plundered. It is destroyed, and all the goodies are taken out, and the houses of the rich are destroyed, and a few homes for the poor are left. And then in verses 24 on into 30, we have some people rounded up. They're taken captive. A number of them are put to death, and then again, a great number are taken into captivity. And so that brings us to this conclusion, picking it up at verse 31. Now it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 25th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. And he spoke kindly to him, and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed from his prison garments, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. And as for his provisions, there was a regular ration given him by the king of Babylon, a portion for each day until the day of his death, all the days of his life. Amen. Well, as we look back over these few verses together, I want us to think about, first of all, a change in leadership. There is a change in leadership. You notice what is said here. It speaks about Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign. So here is a new king. Here is new leadership. Nebuchadnezzar has died, and here is his son taking his place. Now, with reference to this little story, it only seems proper that we turn back to the historian and read what he has to say about this, since there are so few verses. And so if you'll turn to 2 Kings, we have the same thing basically said with a few differences. And so in 2 Kings 25, picking it up at verse 27, "Now it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, released Jehoiachin, king of Judah, from prison. He spoke kindly to him, and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed from his prison garments, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. And as for his provisions, there was a regular ration given him by the king, a portion for each day, all the days of his life." Now, undoubtedly, you noticed a little difference. Here, what does it say? Well, it says in the 27th day of the month, when we look back in Jeremiah, it says the 25th day of the month. And so there's a two-day difference, and some might say, well, big deal. What might we answer that? Well, some would say, well, there's a scribal error, perhaps. And we know about that. When you have a lot of copies, you'll find a scribe making a little mistake here and there. But others suggest this, and I kind of follow this line of reasoning, that on the 25th day, the order was given to release him from prison, but it didn't actually happen, and he didn't actually appear before the king until the 27th day. You see, even then, government just didn't move too fast. And there was always a little bit of red tape to go through. And we know about that. Here a while back, with reference to Hurricane Sandy, our president went down there. He needed a little photo op. And he said, "Amita, we're going to cut through all the red tape and get some help down here." Well, even when the president said that, it was days before anything happened. And so that very well could be the answer, you see. A command given, not fulfilled for 2 days. And then there's something else while we're back here in the book of Kings. We might pick it up. You notice in verse 8 of chapter 24, Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king. 18 years old when he went into captivity. And what are we told? We are told that he was in prison for about 37 years. And he gets out when he's about 55 years old. Well, why? Why did evil Merodach do this? And that's quite a name there, isn't it? Evil Merodach. Well, Merodach has reference to some kind of Babylonian god. And that word evil, actually in the Hebrew, you know what it means? It means foolish. It means a fool. So here's this fool for a king, you see. Well, his daddy put Jehoiachin in prison, and we don't think there was any indication he was ever going to release him, just let him die there. But here comes his son. And immediately he lifts him up. He brings him out of prison. He speaks kindly. He gives the old boy a pension. Even gives him a position. Why did he do this? Well, you can read just like I read. We don't know. We don't know. Well, there are some Jewish fables that go on that this evil Merodach had been in prison once himself and he made the acquaintance and liked the guy. But we don't have any assurance of that. It's just something, work of God in the heart of this king. And for some reason, this king favored Jehoiachin and let him out. And could we think about that in what we call the realm of common grace? Do you not know some unconverted men? Do you not know some men that are really sinners? And you're a saint. And they like you. And you haven't compromised your Christianity one bit. But for some reason, they like you. And they're very willing and glad to do you favors. I have unconverted neighbors. I've not compromised my faith. I've tried to talk to them about it. But yet, you might find this hard to believe, but they like me. And we get along. And we help one another. What is that? That's the work of God, what we call His common grace. And we should be very thankful for it. How else could we possibly get along in this fallen world? In this world full of so many evil men? And so the point is, here is a change in leadership. And so there's a change in policy. And that's very common. A change in leadership brings about a change in policy, a change in how things are done, a change in how things are not done, and we all experience this. Now we've had a saying we've heard a great deal lately, that elections have consequences. And we have found that out. We have new leadership. And so there's new policies. There's new changes. We may not like it, but there's not anything we can do about it. There's been a change in leadership. Oh, this happens when companies. Well, we've got American Airlines, we've got U.S. Air, there's been a joining together, a merger, and there are changes. And there are more changes to come. That's what happens when there's a change in leadership. It happens when there's a new boss. I just heard recently, Outback Steakhouse, they got involved in a lawsuit. There was a man who worked out there, I think a couple of years or so, who was kind of handicapped. A new boss comes, a new boss fires him. He says, "You're slowing things down." So there's a lawsuit. The point, new boss, new policy, new way of doing things. That's what we have here. There is a new king, and so there are changes that are being made. It happens in the realm of a church. A pastor receives a call someplace else. A pastor retires. There's a new pastor. There will be changes. Some like it, some don't. But there will be changes, you see, whenever you have a change in leadership. And all of us have experienced that. Some new persons in authority, It brings about changes. But on the other hand, we can be very thankful as Christians with reference to our supreme leader. No changes. There's no changes in the character of God. He's immutable. There's no changes in His promises. They will be fulfilled. There's no changes in His eternal decree. It will be fulfilled. And so we experience changes because of other men. But we look at the text again, and there's what we'll call personal changes. Personal changes. And here, of course, we bring in Jehoiachin. What happened to him? He was in prison. He'd been in prison 37 years. And all of a sudden, he's set free. And there's no indication that he anticipated this, that he expected this. It was a surprise to him. And isn't that what God does to us a lot of times? A surprise blessing. Something we didn't expect, we weren't anticipating. He simply blesses us. And so here goes the order, set Jehoiachin free. And the word comes to him. And he's undoubtedly shocked. Well, what happens to the man? Well, there's a change in his garments. He's got different clothes. And now he's going to eat bread regularly at the king's table. And he's going to get a pension and he's got a place of position. A radical change has taken place for this man. And I would assume that it took him a little time to get used to this. Recently, a man, I believe, here in the state, here in the valley, he'd been in prison for 40 years. They found out he was not guilty of the crime, and so he's set free. And what they did, they put him in kind of a halfway house so he could get acclimated to this matter of freedom. Because we don't know what it's like to be in prison for 40 years, thankfully. You don't know what it's like to be confined behind some walls. You don't know what it's like to be confined to a cell. You don't know what it's like to be confined to a jail or a prison yard. All of a sudden, freedom! He's got to learn how to handle it. He's got to get used to it. You see, changes come. And a lot of times we've got to get used to this change. But we look at this man. We look at Jehoiachin. We look at his freedom that has been granted to him. And do we not see a faint little picture of our salvation? Is there not a faint little picture of our salvation? For were we not in prison? And were not we rightfully there because of our sin, our guilt, our rebellion? And what about that stanza in a well-known hymn? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray, I woke, the dungeon flame with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Isn't that our experience, more or less? We were set free from the bondage of sin. Well, he gets a change of garments. Don't we have a change? By nature clothed in filthy rags of our own righteousness. What now? The beautiful, perfect righteousness of Christ. A change. Hasn't it been a change in our diet? What do we enjoy eating now? Isn't it the bread of life? Isn't it the Word of God? Isn't it feeding upon Jesus Christ? This man had a change. And obviously, he has new friends. And isn't that what happens when you're converted? You have new friends. You have Christian friends. By and large, you leave those old prisoners. Oh, you might pay them a visit and try to witness to them. but you have new friends. You have fellowship with the Lord. A little picture, you see, of our salvation. A change, a personal change in one's position. Well, in the third place, very briefly, some thoughts about change. Thoughts about change. We'll think of it in a personal way. We all experience change. We live in a world of change. We change. And in light of what we talked about this morning in our sanctification, there's really two changes that we can make. We can change for the worse, or we can change for the better. One thing we don't want to change for the worse, we do not want to regress in our Christian walk. And that happens, doesn't it? We have the example of David. He went back. He went the wrong direction. He changed for the worse. It was a while before he got back to the right place. We don't want to do that. And most likely, most of us here know about that experience. Changing for the worse. What do we want? Well, we want change for the better. That's the kind of change we want. And that's the kind of change, you see, that's urged upon us from the Holy Scriptures. What are we to do? Well, we're to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to make changes, positive changes, for the better. Paul wrote his first letter to the Thessalonians, says, I pray that you grow in your love one for another. He writes the second letter, and what does he say? I've received a report there's been growth and development in your love. You see, we change. We can change. And the Holy Spirit is at work within us, and we are being changed more and more into the image of Christ. But we've got to be careful. We've got to watch. We've got to pray that we make proper change. You know, I think it was Michael Jackson had that song, Change, and he says it starts with the man in the mirror. When you get up tomorrow and look in the mirror, just say to yourself, I need to make some changes today. I need to make changes for the better. I need to stop certain things. And so there's a personal change, the change for the believer, but we'll think about change for the church. Churches change, don't they? Many of us here, we know very well what used to be called, or are still called, I guess, the mainline churches in this country. Solid Orthodox churches. Where are they now? Well, they've made a change. Now they're apostate. Churches change. They can start off so sound, so fundamental. And you remember the Lord Jesus. In the book of Revelation, those seven churches, he makes mention of a church. He said, that in essence, if you don't change, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. It's a bad change. And then there's churches that are called the synagogues of Satan. We have to be watchful. We want to change. We are called a reformed church. A reformed church is a church that's always reforming itself. A reformed church has never arrived. It's always reforming itself, trying to conform itself more and more unto the pattern of Holy Scripture, becoming more and more exact in what we believe, in what we proclaim, in our fellowship, in our love, always reforming. Which means we have to watch, we have to pray, we have to beware of the devil who seeks to disrupt, the devil who seeks to sow discord amongst us. And so we must watch ourselves. We must be quick to forgive, quick to forbear, not hold on to grudges or wanting to get back at someone or doing things, as the Bible says, in vainglorious ways, promoting self. Churches change. We want to change for the better. And so we're thankful for change. But then again, it sounds like a contradiction. I bring it up. There is certain change that we are thankful that there is no change. We are thankful for change, thankful for no change. Again, I bring it up, no change in God. No change in His character. No change in His attributes. No change in His promises. No change in His purpose. He has predestinated us into eternal life. He has predestinated us into His eternal kingdom. That predestination will definitely take place. No change with God. As part of the creed says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the fellowship of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. That purpose will be fulfilled. No change with God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You and praise You for who You are, the unchanging God. And as You have said, You sons of Jacob, do not perish because I do not change. And again, we thank You, Lord God, for the change that You brought about in our lives. You have changed us from being dead in trespasses and sins to being alive in Christ Jesus. And by the various trials You send into our life, You change us. You change us by means of Your blessings. You change us by means of the fellowship of the saints. You change us by means of prayer. O Lord God, we desire to be changed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.